Things are about to change as the future of production of goods and services poised to have some transformation that will be good and perhaps even bad. It's so significant that the World Economic Forum has teamed up with A.T. Kearney to look at some of the scenarios for future production and how companies can prepare for what is next. Joining us now is Azaz Farooqi. He's the Senior Manager of Operations and Performance Transportation at A.T. Kearney. Azaz, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning.
Let's talk a little bit about, first, what we're give us the big kind of big picture of what it is that we're waiting for. I know a lot of people are calling this the fourth industrial revolution that's coming, but what will be the effects of this for production for companies?
I think it's always difficult, right, in a situation like this where a lot of disruptive technologies are sort of taking shape, to know exactly when it will change. But I think we can see the changes happening over the last few years. I mean, you look at some of the technologies that are out there, AI or artificial intelligence, it's been around for a long time. But we didn't have the computing power necessary or available to kind of do the algorithms or run the programs and so on. You look at 3D printing, that's been around since the 70s and so on. And again, similar issues. We couldn't get the qualities, the speed, and the strength and so on. So it never really took on. And so you look at all of these technologies individually, and it's almost we're at a point now where they've all matured from a technology standpoint in some form or fashion. And the other thing that's happening with that is that they're sort of converging 3D printing with AI, with analytics, with Internet of Things and so on. And so all of these things together are creating all kinds of opportunities. And as you look at manufacturing, there's not a single step in manufacturing that isn't getting touched by these technologies. So I think we're at a pretty exciting time, and it's going to be difficult. But my sense is that we're going to go through a lot of change in terms of how it impacts the individual, the businesses, the companies, as well as countries, right? I mean, you think about the countries that are developed, the countries that are developing, and the impact that it can have on maybe some economies which can potentially leapfrog some of the developed economies. So there's a whole lot of changes going through, and what I feel is going to happen is people who are agile, who are able to take advantage of tinkering or experimenting with these technologies at a smaller scale and kind of continue to perfect it as they go along, will be able to benefit from it.
Yeah, and you talk about the excitement level here. I agree with that. I think most people do. But the potential for destabilization is significant. If this isn't addressed, if people do not embrace some of this, start looking forward to it, what are some of the worst-case effects that we could see?
I think you look at all kinds of examples, right? I mean, BlackBerry became a poster child in some ways. It kind of lagged behind. And that's a potential for a lot of different companies that are stuck in sort of the traditional processes, aren't able to look at this transformative technologies to take advantage and reduce their cost, improve their quality, increase their speed to the market, and so on. If you just sit there and not take advantage of what's out there, I think you have a certain level of risk that you're looking at, and you could essentially become part of history.
Let's talk about how what are some of the steps that companies are taking, countries are taking now, others are taking now to get going on this. What would be some examples?
So I think from a company perspective, right? We at A.T. Kearney, and when we work with companies in looking at their digital transformation, what we're seeing and what we're finding is that, I mean, you look at larger companies who have been around for 100 plus years and so on, innovation always has been a challenge. And when you think about these sort of disruptive technologies, it becomes even a bigger challenge because it's not necessarily something that's part of your DNA. And so what tends to work well is having a sense of the strategy for what you want to do on the digital end, so the Industry 4.0 technologies that are all out there, it's not necessarily all applicable to you. So figuring out what are the ones that you need to pursue and then creating a strategy around it that allows you to focus on the right elements of it. And then starting small. I mean, think of this as a lab, as an experiment in some ways, working with some of the incubation labs, working or having a joint venture with some of the folks that have already kind of gone through this, who can guide you along the way, and giving that team that is in charge of looking at this landscape the autonomy and creating that entrepreneurial mindset so they can have the liberty and as well as the means and the resources to start taking some of those meaningful steps and work on it. And the thing to keep in mind also is that this isn't a race to perfection, because the technology landscape is constantly changing. And so you're not necessarily going to get to a point where there is maturity in what you're looking at. So it's iterating it and tinkering along with it till you get to a point where you feel it's good enough that you can move on to the next thing and continue the cycle all over again.
Yeah, it feels like that should be happening now. I know that the deadline, at least in some of the writings that A.T. Kearney and the World Economic Forum have done, they look at the state of production in 2030. 2030 is not that far away. It seems like some of this stuff should have been started yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. It's very true, but I think it's technology, when you look at the landscape, right, it's difficult to judge. There's a lot of businesses, a lot of countries even in some cases, that are waiting on others to sort of go ahead in some ways and do the tinkering, the experimentation, and see how they fare. If they fail, we'll learn from their failures, and then we'll perfect it before we jump on it. So there's this sense of the waiting game is happening right now, I think, in a lot of the cases where people are just a little bit they're shying away from putting their money, their resources into these things. And from a country perspective, I mean, you look at the example of AI, and there's a lot of press going on around how China is sort of spending all kinds of money on research and development, whereas in this side of the world, we're not really getting there as much. So I think it's important that we wake up as a country, as businesses, to the changing reality, because if we don't change our behaviors and we don't start thinking about these things and acting upon it, we're going to be left behind.
How concerned are you about the geopolitical part of this story? Brexit, I'm thinking of Brexit, I'm thinking of the Trump administration, the move away from the globalization, move. How do these, and those are two big countries, how does this work into all of that?
So I think I focus on the digital transformation side and the future of production and so on. So I think when I look at it from the technology lens, we had published a paper on the impact of 3D printing on the U.S. economy and the jobs it can bring back. So I think if you look at it from that perspective, these technologies, so there's an element of spending resources on just the innovation piece, right, perfecting these technologies and taking them further. But then the other piece of it is, as we help businesses embrace these technologies, there is a great potential in a lot of ways to bring jobs back, so you could have things made in America here from 3D printing that we're potentially getting done outside. So from a geopolitical standpoint, you could be looking at an increased number of jobs if we can focus on some of those things. Now, if all the countries in the world are going to look at it from that perspective, I think that poses a bit of a challenge. But at the end of the day, people who are able to provide the goods with the right kind of quality, at the right speed, with the right cost, I mean, it's a fair competition, a fair market, and people with those attributes are going to come out ahead.
It's nice to hear you talk about the creation of jobs and not the loss of them, because I think a lot of times when we have conversations like this, the immediate attention is put to how many jobs are going to be lost to, automation and robots and artificial intelligence. So that's a positive.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not necessarily a bad thing when you look at it from that lens, because, mind you, the skills are going to change. It's going to be a slightly different world where people will be interacting with computers and so on at a higher degree or a higher level of education. But these are good jobs from the perspective that the pay is going to be good, the working conditions are going to be good. So it's not all bad when we look at it from that lens.
So we appreciate you being with us this morning. This is a good conversation. We're going to link out to some of your work at atkearney.com, and we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Azaz Farooqi with us this morning. He's a senior manager of operations and performance transformation at A.T. Kearney. Again, atkearney.com. We'll link out to it in the podcast later this morning at WGNRadio.com.